this bizarre story where this killer wants to donate his organs after he's executed. Gary, I don't think I'd want those organs. How about you?
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, I wouldn't want them either. And they're obviously, why would you want them, George?
I would not want them. Not at all. Because, you know, I'm convinced that if you do that, you take very strange personalities from the donor. I don't know. Maybe the cellular level does have memory, Gary.
Well, you know, that's what the, first of all, theory suggests, and also what the research that has been done also supports that. You know, it's amusing, actually, that the very first time I was on Coast to Coast was in 1999 when a book I wrote called The Living Energy Universe came out. It was with Art Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a book about memory and about how all systems that have feedback have memory, and that since feedback is what's essential for memory to occur, anything that has feedback has memory, and that includes all tissues, because all cellular systems, which contain, in the case of the heart, for example, billions and billions of cells, you have billions and billions of feedback loops. And so the heart, theoretically, can store as much memory, has the capacity to learn and store memory, just like the brain does. I mean, the brain is much more sophisticated because it has hundreds of feedback loops on the average per neuron compared to heart cells, which will have much fewer. But you've still got billions and billions of feedback loops. So anyway, the long story short is that it made a prediction that cellular memory with heart transplants or heart and lung transplants or other organ systems could occur. And then we began collecting data on this, and we actually published a paper on 10 cases of a larger group that Paul Pierceval had originally collected,
right,
where the evidence was so strong in terms of the personality changes occurring in the recipient, which were independently described by another living person, such as a spouse, and then only afterward did they end up meeting someone associated with the donor's family, and then confirmed, in fact, that their personality changes actually match those of the donor.
See, that's what's so important, Gary. You know, initially one would think, okay, maybe their mind is playing tricks with them. They know they have an organ donor. They've got body parts from somebody else. So maybe they're creating this. But when it matches up and they have no idea who the donor is, you got to think there's something behind this.
Absolutely. And also, you know, drugs can have effects, stress can have effects, and so on. And so typically the assumption is that it must be a side effect of the medication, or it must be a stress, for example, or the expectations of the recipient. But these cases were too specific, too unique, too improbable for those to be plausible explanations. And so once you become aware that this is not just theoretically possible, but it actually appears to happen, you know, in a relatively small group of cases, although who knows what the real percentages are because no one's actually done a formal large-scale experiment. But once you know that that's possible, then you have to become open to the possibility, whether either consciously or unconsciously, your body is going to be competing with and rejecting, you know, your mind and the rest of your body, the information and energy that's stored in the donor's organs. And if that involves a person who may be deranged or maybe have a lot of hostility, even if this gentleman genuinely wishes to make some beautiful contribution to society, I mean, there's a very positive side potentially to what he's doing, there's still a big risk.
Well, and let me ask you this, Gary. Does it matter how violent or evil the donor is? And my example is, I mean, if a person has just generally lived a nice life, they're a good person, they die, they donate eyes, whatever, does it determine, you know, the memory of the recipient based on the kind of person the person was in their life?
Well, what appears to be the case is that the stronger the memory or the whole gestalt of the style, the characteristics of the person are, the more likely they are to have an impact on the recipient. So, for example, one of the most remarkable cases was a young child who received a heart transplant of another child, and that child had actually been murdered. So, of course, this is extraordinarily stressful for that the child who was murdered. And then the child who received the organs began having nightmares. And in those nightmares, they were literally reliving a murder. And, of course, the parents were very concerned about this. They brought this child to a child psychiatrist who evaluated the child and came to the conclusion that the child didn't seem to be crazy, seemed to be getting very specific information, and so they decided to bring it to the police. And it turned out that information was not only accurate, but it helped actually them be able to arrest and contributed to the conviction of the child's killer. Now, of course, this was a very emotional circumstance in this case, the death of this child. And anyway, the very strong food preferences, or very strong music preferences, or very strong passions, or concerns, are ones that are more likely, it appears, to, if you would, break through and influence the personality of the recipient. And therefore, you might expect that this would be the case for someone who had such a violent set of reactions to their own loved ones that they would eventually kill them.
Gary, does the type of organ, albeit the heart, the eyes, does the type of organ determine the cellular memory?
The answer, of course, unfortunately, is that we don't know. I mean, the available evidence suggests is that the larger the tissue, the more effective, and also the heart and the lungs seem to be particularly strong, but there have been effects reported for kidneys, for example. Unfortunately, there's so little experimental evidence to be able to draw any firm conclusions at this point.
Okay. Is anybody doing any heavy research into this?
To the best of my knowledge, no. And part of the reason is because it's extraordinarily difficult to get research funding for this. Part of the reason is that there are all of the ethical issues about getting information about the donor's personality and so on. But also, I think part of it is the political implications and the philosophical implications of actually making what happens if we actually get positive results. There's going to be a lot of rethinking about these issues.
I wonder how many people, knowing who the donor was, would reject the body part. What do you think?
You mean reject it as not in the immune system rejection, but actually...
But the emotional way, yeah.
Exactly. You know, that is a superb question. Imagine that you're in a life or death situation, and let's say it's a heart transplant, and you need a heart. And
you don't have much time to go. You've got maybe a week.
And it's not like every day, you have a heart that you can pick, or that you know a lot about the personality of the person who's providing the heart. Because in most cases, these are sudden, injuries or, sudden, accidents. And so you've got hours of which from the time that the person is pronounced dead to that organ being, quote, harvested and then made available for a recipient. So under those circumstances, there really isn't a lot of time, right, to be able to, well, say, who do I want to choose this from? But in this instance, where I presume that we're talking about a man who is going to be executed, is that the circumstance, or is it just when he dies?
Yeah, he's going to be executed.
He's going to be executed. So here's an instance where you know when he's going to die, and theoretically, therefore, what? You potentially know what his history is.